Welcome back to Through the Word. Today on Through the Word, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and I'll be your host, Peyton Jones. Let's jump straight in to Through the Word. I feel bad for doing this, but I have a spoiler alert. At the end of this book, Moses dies. I know, right? Like, I feel like Tom Holland on a late night talk show. After letting some things leak on a couple of talk shows, he famously walked into the premiere of the Marvel Avengers Infinity Wars yelling, "I'm alive!" Needless to say, his director has since said, Tom doesn't get any scripts anymore. He only gets his lines now. Sometimes your mistakes follow you for years to come. Rather than shouting, "I'm alive!" Moses here is going to be shouting, "I'm going to die!" And it was about time. Like, the dude was 120 years old and well-preserved at that, if he would say so himself. But it wasn't his age that was going to kill him. It was his mistakes. You see, God had kept him alive to finish the job of leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. Moses was going to drop dead in the desert, but they weren't. Someone was going to have to lead the next generation forward and into the next phase of what God was doing. Every generation's faced with this task, and it's a pass or fail affair. Have we successfully passed the baton on to those who are following behind us, or have we thrown it over our shoulders hoping others will catch it? That's what discipleship's all about, and something Jesus said that we should be doing until the end of the age. So what about you? Are you discipling anyone? Why not start taking people with you on your journey through the Word? It's simple. Just meet up at lunch or once a week to talk about what you're learning together as you both listen to the app. Parents, use it with your kids. Couples, use it for a couples devotional. Discipleship, simply defined by a maxim, is each one should teach one. So the question today is, who's your one? So how's that for a shameless plug worked into Deuteronomy chapter 31 about passing on the baton? But Moses passed on the baton, and in this chapter, we hear a little bit about him passing it on to Joshua. Jesus made sure he had others to train. In fact, it was what he spent the bulk of his ministry focusing on. He actually invested 3 years into passing the baton to 12 people who would, as he said, quote, "do greater things than I have done," unquote. That's every mentor's hope for his or her successor. And Moses here tells the children of Israel that Joshua, son of Nun, is my one. It says in verse 1, "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all of Israel. I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross over to the Jordan,' and the Lord your God himself will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." Notice that God repeats to Joshua to be strong and courageous after telling the people the same. And in fact, in Joshua chapter 1, God repeats that to Joshua over and over. Be strong and courageous. Whenever we step out on our own and come out from underneath someone else's shadow, we have to be strong and courageous. This could happen when you're aging out of a youth group or taking your first job. It could be that you're sharing the gospel for the first time or discipling someone, like we said. Do you know what the key to leading others is, though? It's not actually leading. The key to leading is following. And that means specifically following God. A leader that knows how to follow God is a leader worth following. And in verse 9 through 13, Moses tells them that they are to read this law every 7 years in the entirety to remind themselves of everything that God said. And part of that reason would be to remind those leaders of what their standard is and how they ought to be leading. In the book of Nehemiah, we find the people of Israel doing exactly this when they return from the exile in Babylon. You see, they've been kicked out of the promised land as a type of discipline by God to turn them back to himself. And therefore, they grab the book of the law and they read it cover to cover, as God said to do every 7 years. It's like they get back into the promised land and they're determined, this time round, we're going to do it right. And Moses here, because he's a prophet, is told by God that this is exactly what's going to happen. They are going to fail to do this, and they're going to fail to keep God's covenant. So God appears to Moses in the tent of meeting, and the cloud fills it up and covers the entrance of the tent. And from verses 14 to 23, we hear what God says to Moses about Israel's future disobedience. In verse 16, God tells Moses it's going to be, quote, soon, not hundreds of years from now, but only a generation or maybe two. Before he kicks him out of the land, the book of Judges becomes kind of a practice run. Various invaders keep ransacking them and showing them what happens when you turn your back on God and the promises and the blessings of God. So in Judges, and in fact all throughout Israel's history, there is this cycle of sin, consequences, repentance, and restoration. Sound familiar? I bet it does. Because, believer, that is actually our pattern over and over. And the fact that God sends prophets all throughout Israel's history is proof that God really doesn't want to follow through with the consequences. He'd much rather have him do what he talked about in the previous chapter when we were together last time, and that is turn around and take that one step back of repentance back to God. Because God would much rather have our heart and soul than punish us every single time. But God ends this discussion with a mic drop. In verse 21, the second part of this passage says, I know what they're disposed to do. Even before I bring them into the land, I promised them under oath. And there Moses finishes the writing of the law and was commanded to put it in the Ark of the Covenant as, quote, a witness against you. Think of the copy of the law here as being like a contract in a safe. Everywhere they went, this covenant would be there in their presence and would contain the conditions of their success. Now, lest you turn this into some weird, twisted faith movement precursor, it's important to note that God has never established a relationship with us based on our performance. True. He sets up conditions, but the important thing to notice here is that we're going to break every single one of these conditions that God sets up. He knows we're going to break the rule, let him down, even let ourselves down. And that's why God sets up the concept of atonement. He introduces the concept of forgiveness and a substitute for their sin. Somebody else takes the punishment for breaking the covenant. And of course, it's not them and it's not you. And like Israel, we may suffer the consequences of our actions. We may suffer the painful outcomes of decisions we make, but Jesus is the one who took the punishment for our sin. He takes the blame and keeps our relationship with God open. He takes all the curses of our disobedience, and we receive all the blessings of Jesus' obedience to the covenant. And that's enough to make you want to break out into a song. And that's exactly what Moses does. But you'll have to wait until the next chapter to hear Moses' mixtape. Read Deuteronomy chapter 31. And as you do, remember, God knows everything you're going to do and still wants a relationship with you anyways.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.